in remembrance of him. In John chapter 18 and verse 1, it says, "When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over to the brook Cedron, where was a garden into the which he entered, and his disciples." For our church family here in Myrtle Beach, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper this afternoon. And the Lord told us to do it in remembrance of him. What was on Jesus' mind prior to entering into the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus' mind was on the cross. He had already instituted the Lord's Supper. He had already spoke about his body being broken and his blood being shed for the remissions of sin. Jesus was the Lamb of God. He was the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. But as we look here, and in our verse it says, when Jesus had spoken these words, what words? In chapter 17, Jesus is going to lift his eyes toward heaven and speak to the Father. In John 17 and verse 1, let's read this prayer. Oh, it'll give us a good idea of what was on his mind as he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. In John 17, it says, "These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. In verse 4 of John chapter 17, it says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. What was on Jesus' mind as he entered into this garden of Gethsemane? Oh, his mind was to glorify the Father, both in life and in death. The Lord's Supper is a time for us to examine ourselves, a time to allow the Lord to examine us. And right here is one of the things that we should be examining today. Does my life glorify the Father here on earth? Jesus' life did, and he's our example. He also said in verse 4 that he finished the work that the Father had given him to do. Hey, if we're going to examine ourselves today, then we can only examine ourselves according to the Scripture and with our Savior. You can't compare yourself to another Christian or to another person. Does my life glorify the Father? Are we actively involved in the work that he's given us to do? And how will we finish? Jesus is about to enter into the Garden of Gethsemane and all that that entails, the beginning of these sufferings, heading to the cross. And what does Jesus say? He said, I've glorified thee. I finished the work. Paul said some very similar words in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. If we were to enter today into our last battle, would we be able to say, I have glorified thee on earth? My life, Lord, has glorified thee on earth. Would we be able to say, I finished the work? I kept the faith. As we remember our Lord's sacrifice and resurrection, oh, let's be encouraged by the fact that because he lives, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can glorify Christ here on earth. I can finish the work that he's called me to do. Oh, so many Christians have stopped short of this. Oh, they've come to a point in their life where they just quit. They quit going forward. Oh, many times throughout the Bible, we've seen that Jesus went forth. You know, just because we reach a certain age does not mean that God is done with us. God has a plan. And when he's done with us, he'll call us home. Oh, in our passage here, knowing all these things, Jesus went forth. Have you ever wondered why God doesn't let us know everything that's going to happen to us? Why does he not tell us these things ahead of time? Well, right here's one good reason. We're not like Jesus. Hey, for most of us, if we knew things that could happen to us in a week or in 2 weeks or in a month or in 10 years from now, then we'd come to a screeching halt. We'd put on the brakes there and hey, we say, whoa, wait a minute now. I don't know if I'm going to go through with this. Oh, but I sure am glad that he promised that he'd never leave us nor forsake us. In John 17 and verse 5, it says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Oh, as we remember all that the Lord has done for us, let's not forget what he gave up for us. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5 it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." In comparison to what Jesus gave up for us, what have we given up for him? We do this in remembrance of him. He is our example. Some Christians struggle just to come to church. I mean, they battle whether or not they're going to show up to church. Aren't you glad that Jesus, knowing all these things, went forth for you? Oh, he went all the way to the cross, and there he died and he bled for you. Oh, may the Lord help us here. What have we given up for him? Some Christians struggle to give the Lord his tithe. It's not even their money, but yet they struggle giving that to the Lord. Some people struggle just to go out of their way to tell someone about Jesus. Oh, they struggle with that. Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus left glory? He gave up his glory. He robed himself with a robe of flesh. Oh, he humbled himself. Oh, and he came to this world so that we might be saved. And yet so many Christians struggle to give out a gospel tract. They struggle to tell somebody about Jesus. Some Christians struggle just to read the scriptures every day and pray and have a time there with the Lord. He laid down his glory for us. So what are we willing to lay down for him? Turn to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. God has promised to pay us back for what we do for him, both in this life and the life to come. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 29, "And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life." Boy, we like the rewards part, don't we? But Jesus added two words there in verse 30 that causes many Christians to not go all the way with Jesus. Jesus added these two words, "With persecutions." With persecutions. In Hebrews 12:3 it says, "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." The Lord asks us to observe the Lord's Supper in remembrance of him, to remember his death and his body being broken and for his shed blood. He did it all for me. He gave up everything for me. Oh, he's worthy that I give Jesus my all. Go back to John chapter 17. John 17. The last point that I would like to bring out today is found in verse 20 and 21. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Prior to going to the Garden of Gethsemane, you and I were on his mind. Knowing everything that was about to happen, Jesus was praying for you and for me. Notice what he said there in verse 20. But for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Do you remember what the Lord asked us to do in Philippians chapter 2? He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's so easy to be consumed with ourselves, to be consumed with our issues, our circumstances, our problems. But aren't you glad that Jesus was consumed with you and I? The Lord's Supper is needed. It's a time of self-examination. Ask yourself, is the mind of Christ in you? Are you consumed with the same things that Christ is consumed with?